I was reading about Daniela and her friend going to California. And I want to read just a portion of her diary. She wrote in her journal, actually. When she became a teenager, she and a girlfriend of hers left home and took a trip to California. She says in the book, they both took their Bibles. Her girlfriend took Good News for Modern Man, and she took the old King James edition of the Bible, of Scripture. She said, we would read Scripture and smoke a bowl. All the way to California, we'd read the Word of God and get high. Now, perhaps to many in here, maybe you're too religious and that doesn't seem normal, but that's normal. It really is normal. My mind is a battleground of voices shouting what to do. She calls the accuser, the devil, Jab, J-A-B. And she calls God the pursuer. My mind is a battleground of voices shouting what to do, Jab. I feel like it's out of some horror flick. I don't know how to make it stop. I've begged you to, but nothing. Why do you let me be tormented so? So many questions. I'm afraid of my questions. I'm afraid of the answers. I feel like a dirty old abandoned animal cowering in some alley, afraid of its shadow. I want desperately for someone to find me. Yet rebuke is my portion. Jab. Do I have to rescue myself? I don't know if that is even possible. I feel so bad for my family, especially Michael, my husband. There is no way they can know what is going on inside. They just see pain. They don't understand. They like me. They just like me want it to go away. I don't want to get on the roller coaster in my head, so I remain numb. Scripture after scripture. I thought the word was to give life, make the lies go away. I'm afraid of myself. I don't want to talk. I only trust you. Not even my own voice. My tongue would betray me. I just want to sit and wait for you or die. If I could die from sorrows, with what I can, I love you. With all I have, I cling to you, Master. Tell me what to do. I tell my children I love them and that Jesus loves them, but I exclude myself, with the only hope offered being rooted in something I must do. And I work harder and do a lot of good, yet fear that is not enough. Jab. So much confusion followed by condemnation, because I'm not supposed to be confused, but then I condemn myself for that. I keep trying to be what I think I'm supposed to be, but then I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be. This leads me to being afraid that God will give up on me, which leads me to only try harder until the pursuer rescues me. Later on in the book, she writes this truth. Before I was known, you knew me. Being unplanned, I was planned. Before I followed you, you called me. You had my life in your hand. Why did you find me? Why did you search me out? Why do you love? Why don't you ever give up on me? I tried to, but in the darkness of darkest, you were there. In the loudest of noise, I could hear you. In the deepest silence, I pained, I feared, I ran, I cried. I don't understand, and you heard, and you saw, and you understood. Precious, yes, precious in the sight, in your sight. To be called precious is past all joy. In the eyes of my Father, my protector, my love, my Redeemer, I found where I belong. I'm a twinkle in my Father's eye. Amen. Some of you will not understand that. Others of you will say, she's reading my mail. She knows my heart. I know you're here today. I know you're here today because the Spirit of God has told me you would be here. And I know you're wanted. You know it too, to some degree. You sense it. You're torn, aren't you? On the one hand, you feel unloved, a freak. On the other hand, you think there's an unseen hand in your life. Your theology is all balled up. Who am I talking to? It's because of you I haven't slept. I know you're here. And God knows you're here. Because God gave this preacher words that ring loud and clear in your heart this morning. You don't have the slightest idea of who God is. You know nothing about His holiness, His righteousness, justification, eternal election. All of those are just words to you. But you are very suspect that you are meant to be. In fact, you call yourself a spiritualist when someone gets too close to talking about sin because you don't know how to deal with that. Spiritualist sounds good. Back, way back when you were little, you felt bad about some of the things you did and said. But now that was a long time ago. You're an adult. You went to church a lot with your parents. Sometimes you felt something or someone was out there. But you're grown up now. Still, every once in a while, it's like something is calling you. You feel destined that there is something out there for you. I'm talking to somebody. You know I'm talking to you. To others of you, probably what I'm saying today is ridiculous. But to those of you who are hearing the voice, church always seemed to be about my duty and what I must do, obligation, work, responsibility. There was a lot of fear in church. You've tried to keep the Ten Commandments, but you soon gave up. As you got older, life seemed to get tougher. I penned these words last night, so I know they're for somebody. They didn't come from me. As you got older, life seemed to get tougher. It seemed like the more you got materially, the emptier you were. Parents died. Parents divorced. You couldn't seem to find the right man or woman. Relationships failed. And you got lonelier. But at strange times and in strange places, seems like there was something drawing you. You began to look for love in all the wrong places. Turn to mind-altering drugs to fill the pain. But even then there were times when a still, small voice whispered deep inside of you, only to be drowned out by the beat of the drum of loneliness and drug abuse. Now you're physically ill. Doctors can find nothing wrong. Psychosomatic is the word. When doctors can't find anything wrong with you and the pain is real, you're diagnosed psychosomatic. Now here you are today. Perhaps the last time you were in this building, you were high. I'm talking to somebody. But here you are. This morning. Still lost. Still lonely. Still longing. And with an empty heart. And you're here and you're hopeless and you're depressed. Listen to me real close. You are not here by accident. Can you hear the voice of God? Through my voice, can you hear the voice calling you? Maybe you're sitting there like this. My God, it's me. He's talking to me. You probably have it right. Are you burdened? Are you heavy laden? Hear today the message. Jeff read in Ephesians 1:6 that we are accepted in the Beloved. That it is in Jesus Christ. And that's why he says in the book of Matthew, come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The voice has been calling you for a long time. As I said in my study last night, I said to myself, when was the last time? How old were you the first time you heard the voice? And I startled myself. 4. Oh, Pastor. You couldn't have heard the voice of God at 4 years old. Well, maybe you haven't, but I did. At that time, I had no idea. I was just a little rattlesnake. I was a young rattlesnake. I hadn't grown up yet to be a big rattlesnake. I was depraved. But I am positive. By 5 years old, I was preaching to my pet goat to trees and cows and anything that would stand still and listen. And well, Pastor, that's the most ridiculous thing that I have ever heard. That's because maybe you've never had God speak to you. And or maybe, perhaps, at that particular moment, and maybe right now, like it happened to me last night, that question just didn't come out of my own mind. When is the first time you heard the voice of God? And I don't mean it was, you know, Adam, Susie. I just know I was moved in an inward way on the inside and very conscious that God was there. Hearing the voice of God. Somebody said, well, you couldn't have heard the voice of God. I did. By the way, all of you, you heard your mother's voice when you were still in the womb. The doctors always tell young mothers, you know, hold your stomach and have you and dad talk to the baby, right? You say, well, I don't remember that. Of course you don't. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen. God's been there all the time. And the first thing God does to His kids is give them spiritual life. And I want to say this. We, growing up in the Baptist church, we made much of the experience. And we called it, you got born again. But the truth is, no one in here knows when they were born the first time. You don't remember when you came out of the oven. But you came out. Right? You don't remember when you were born. You don't remember the first time you cried. But it did happen. God gives spiritual life many times before we realize it. And today, what may happen as I speak to you is you may realize I've been born again. Because no man can hear the voice of God except he be made alive in Christ Jesus. And this is God's way through the preacher. If my poor voice is the only voice you hear today, you will leave here none the better. But if in the providence of God through my voice you hear the voice of God, you will leave here regenerated, born again, knowing that God loves you and accepts you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Accepted. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. How many of you in here, I wonder, experience that on a daily basis? You know you're loved of God. Let me tell you this. If you don't and you're His child, you're miserable. Constantly through scriptures, God speaks to the preacher, the shepherd, the pastor, and says, comfort ye my people. When I was reading the book and I was reading about Daniela and her friend going to California and they were smoking a bowl, I laughed out loud. I thought, how wonderful is the grace of God, even when you're crazy. God has you open His Word. And between here and California, it was the Bible and marijuana. I know I'm talking to somebody today. You think you can't be saved because you've used drugs, and you may already be saved. You may already be born of the Spirit of God. You just haven't grown with this grace and this blessed assurance. Be still and know that I'm God. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I'm God and there is none else. That's the way it is. You're accepted in the blood. No matter the worst about you, the best about you, it has nothing to do with you being saved. In fact, God hates all of your filthy rags of unrighteousness. Every time you try to save yourself, God hates that effort. God is not in the effort for you to save yourself by works which you have done. He has finished the work in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's accomplished. It's done. And we rest in that. You're chosen. Who, me? Yeah, you. You're chosen. Well, God chose everybody. How's that float your boat? That I am absolutely positive, and you've heard me say this if you've been here any time at all. If I tell Miss Pam, you know, I just love all women are very special to me. I just want you to know that, Pam. I love all women. That doesn't float her boat. I know what floats her boat. I love only you. You're the most beautiful woman in all the world. This is the way God makes love to His kids. I chose you. You did not first choose me. I first chose you. God says, I'm in charge of salvation. And I chose you when you were ugly. I didn't like your smile. I didn't see any good in the way you looked. There's none good, no, not one. Then how did you get saved if you're no good? God had to take the initiative. And I'll tell you, I know it's tough because in our flesh we reason about this thing of election. Like, see, your problem today is this. Why would God choose me? That's a good question. Because there was nothing good in you for God to see. And the amazing thing is, He chose you anyway. Before you were formed in your mother's belly, He already loved you. Oh, you're not here by accident. I'm talking to somebody. We call this objective. Means outside of yourself. Before you were ever born, before He ever created the world, He had already chose a number of people that no man could number and wrote their names down in His book. And then sent His only begotten Son into the world to buy them, to purchase them, to redeem them off of the slave market of sin. And He paid your debt in full, and you have no debt. Stop your worrying, your insecurity. It's paid. You're His. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You get a little happy when you know that. It'll take that sourpuss look off your face. You ought to see what I have to preach to. You've been bought with the precious blood. Would He buy you to lose you? You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You know, I believe the Lord saved me when I was a child, but I've done the craziest, wildest. Do you still hear the voice? That voice never stops calling. Never stops speaking. I would ask how many of you have heard the voice in the crack house, but I won't do that right now. Isn't it amazing the places God goes? And you took Him with you and didn't even know it. You're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're a peculiar, particular people, the Bible says. The Bible is the book for, it's a love letter from God. You say, well, Pastor, who are you talking to? I'm talking to those who hear the voice. No matter how weak it is. And I'll tell you this. If you're wrestling with this, 'tis a point I long to know, am I His or am I not? You are. Because you would never ask that question. You don't. People who are unconverted, unregenerate, don't think that way. They don't think this way. What am I doing? The unregenerate don't think that way. Only the regenerate think that way. When you're out there doing things you are not supposed to do, and that still small voice that you try to drown out, so what are you doing here? Maybe even when you're high and peeping out the curtain to see if the police are around. And you hear that still, small voice? No, the sheriff's not here, but I am. I'm talking to somebody. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And not only that, but they recognize it. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. They recognize that voice. I often say, one of the saddest observations of my 50 years of preaching is that not many professing Christians have a personal, experiential, a daily realized assurance that God loves them. I'll tell you what will make this a great day. for you to leave here knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're loved of God. It's a sad thing. Would to God that we knew, and the Apostle Paul in the Ephesian letter was always talking like that. And even his prayer, beginning in the first chapter, he said, I pray that you might know the exceeding riches of His grace and the power that works in you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And I know some of you are sitting here thinking like this. I just can't believe, I've never been loved. I was bullied when I was a kid. People made fun of me. I've always been insecure. I just, all of that stuff, that doesn't come from God. That doesn't come from God. He said, it's done, it's accomplished, it's finished. I bought you, I paid for you. You're purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something else. Even your doubt won't take you to hell. Even your unbelief will not take you to hell. Thank God, right? Anybody in here ever feel not so saved? The rest of you are liars. There are times when all of us sense, how could it be? How could I be His? And yet, that affects nothing. You are because He loved you, He chose you, He redeemed you, He bought you, He caught you, and He's going to keep you. And what happened this morning with our sister? She just got a little happy. That's all that happened. Get a little happy. You see, it's not God loves me, ho-hum. But it's God loves me. Thank you, Jesus. And when I know that, I'm a much stronger person. No doubt about it, I'm a much happier person. I know I'm loved. I'm a mess, but I'm loved. I'm a Gomer, but I have a Hosea. Yeah. You have to read the story. One of the things that I see happening here, and I praise God for it, and hope that it happens more. Little participation in the expression of praise. Well, you know, you kind of hold that down here. Not real praise. You see, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Here's really the deal. God has given pastors with discernment. And if you're a phony, I'll know it. So everybody just relax. If somebody in here goes to shouting, I can out-shout them. What I usually do is kind of look at them and wait until the Spirit of God lets them calm down a little bit. Detect it's real and it's of God. You know why most of us in here are afraid of something like that? Because we haven't been in it for a long time. We just don't really understand what's going on. Here's kind of my prayer. I'm praying that the most sophisticated people in this church begin to shout. You know, and it kind of startles you. But you just can't stand it. Isn't it something we can go to a Tigers game? Throw the beer and the popcorn, the pop and the popcorn. Up in the air over this guy being paid $40 million to hit a little ball over a fence. But we get in the house of God and hear the greatest message ever told. That God came to earth. And not get excited about it. Thank you. I want the church to be alive with activity of God. The activity of God. Something God does inside of you. So say, well, that's all subjective. I've heard this all my life. You have to be real suspicious. I heard this in the Calvinistic church. You have to be real suspicious of that subjective stuff. I kind of know that, but I'll tell you this. When I was a little boy, something happened to me. And it happened on the inside. Now, I don't know exactly when it happened, but I know it happened. Now, I know I was 8 years old when I found out it had already happened. And I go back to when I give my testimony. I talk about being an 8-year-old boy and trusting Jesus and my dad witnessing to me. But something happened to me before that. I looked back last night and said, something happened to me before that. I was just reconciled as an 8-year-old boy. I just came to really realize it. Hey, God came into the world in the person of His Son and died in my room, stead, and place, and I found out. And I'm going to tell you this, I've never got over it. The sweetest place to me to be is whether I'm sitting where you are or I'm up here filled with the Spirit of God, either hearing a preacher preach the gospel or you give your testimony. It's a sweet thing on the inside. I mean, I had to act preacherfied today to sit still while we were singing. I wanted to do something. And Wednesday night, I did something. I jumped. Then I grabbed my back because it hurt. But joy in the Lord. You know, the early church turned the world upside down. Yesterday, I was seeing all the people from Chrysler and General Motors and all of the work that they did, and the mayor was there and city council there at the opening of that house. And I said, you are mighty God. You are mighty God. Before I left yesterday afternoon, Andy Meisner called me and he said, Pastor, I just want you to know I'm going to Louisville, Kentucky for a wedding. I can't be there today, but I want you to know we're going to give you 27 Fairgrove, which is 3 houses down. Andy Meisner is a dear friend of Jewish descent. He's our county treasurer, has been so good to us. Things like that just don't happen. God is doing something here, and I know why He's doing it. I keep pounding it and pounding it. We give Him the glory. We give Him the praise. And we give Him all the honor. Let's turn this city upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's see neighborhoods change, people change, drug addicts recovered, a church that praises God. A few Wednesday nights ago, you know, the city gave us 100% vote. In fact, the mayor made the motion for us to get our parking lot permit a week from Monday. I hope that place is full of bulldozers and so forth and so on. A $500,000 parking lot going in here that'll knock your eyes out. How can those things happen? I'm telling you, our God is alive and worthy to be praised. Today, I'm afraid we have in most places, a generation of 70-year-olds who rejoiced in privilege and shunned responsibility. And now we have a generation of 20-year-olds who neither rejoice in privilege or take to heart responsibility. I want this church to get younger. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about, I don't want this church to get old and die out. I don't want there to be 30 of us sitting in here having a little private club meeting called Praise and Worship. I want the 17 and 18-year-olds and those 27, 30-year-olds. You know what? This has happened in my lifetime. I've watched it happen. Every move of the Spirit of God got weaker and weaker and weaker. I'm telling you, I am living in a day when I am more conscious at nearly 70 of the presence of God in this place after 50 years of preaching than I have ever been. I am very much conscious. We're not playing church here. Amen. We're not playing church here. It's the real thing. You'll be surprised what you'll hear from this pulpit. I mean, it's shocking. Not religious words, but telling it like it is, and Christ coming into the heart of even the chief of sinners. You're here today. Maybe you've wallowed in the stables of sin. You're black as all get out. But deep down inside, there is a voice, a still small voice, that's saying this. He's talking about you. He's talking about you. And you may not know Genesis from Revelations about the Bible. Some of you didn't get that. Think about that just a little bit. You can't even find books in the Bible. But there's a voice. There always must be that voice. That's the way God does it. We used to sing in the old church, didn't we, Brother Sanders, Brother North? I can hear my Savior calling. Have you got a call? Have you heard His voice? Have you heard His voice today? I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I'm just saying this. Maybe you've driven to California and smoked a bowl or two. Or three. Maybe you're even surprised today. Maybe this is your first time ever in church. And maybe you even say something like this. You know, could it be that even though I never went to church, that voice, oh yeah, because God is sovereign. But you'll never be reconciled to Christ till you hear the gospel. You say, well, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. God can go to your Lodi bar and find you in the hood, and you'll never be churchy at all, and do something on the inside of you and start to draw you. I'll never forget. And I don't know whether you're here today or not, but there was a guy downtown in the hood, and he was bad off, physically bad off. He was ODing, all kinds of things. And another drug person told him, said, you need to get to Pontiac Rescue Mission. This was years ago. You need to get to Pontiac Rescue Mission. You desperately need help. Said, I don't know where it is. This guy gave him 50 cents to get on the bus. Guess where the bus stopped? Right in front of Pontiac Rescue Mission. Don't tell me that was an accident. What God does, He does on purpose. I'm glad He's that kind of God. See, it was all planned. If you hear the voice, it was all planned for you to be here today. That's what I meant when you kept me awake. You made me write all this stuff. I even thought while I was writing this stuff, they're not going to know what I'm talking about. And the Spirit of God said, oh, some of them will. You see, when you speak God's language, people who hear God's voice interpret that to be God. And some of you know. And today is the first day of your life. You don't have to go back to the doubt, the fear, the mess. Today with Christ, you can have life and assurance and know you're loved. I remember several years ago when I was teaching one of the ladies' classes, and I was teaching on God the Father, God being a Father. And one of the ladies in that class had been abused and sexually abused by her father. And one of the other girls said something about, I've never had a father. I've never known my father. And I said, I will try to mentor that. I'll try to be your father. This girl who had been raped by her father jumped up out of the class and started running down the street. She didn't want a father. The only thing she knew about father was not good. You may be here that way today. But I'm telling you this, there is a heavenly Father. who is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He knows that ache. He knows that void. And I'm sure I've not got to the end of the book, but just as sure as shooting, before I finish this book, she's going to say, I have a father vacuum. Something like that. I know it's coming. I can see it coming. Maybe, young lady, you're here that way. Or maybe young man. Or maybe old man. Some of you have gotten old like myself. And you still don't have blessed assurance. It's only in this that you find blessed assurance. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. When you stand before God, you'll stand before God without guilt, without blemish. You know, the Old Testament says that God sings over you. You know, we sing over God, but have you ever thought about what would God sing? He can't sing over us, how great thou art. He could sing, how great thou art not. But God sings over us. The Bible talks about God being filled with joy when we stand before Him without blemish or spot. Say, I know some of you here, and because of spots, you feel like you're not loved of God. Let me tell you this. There is no spot in God's ointment. There are no flies in the ointment. You're standing before God without spot. That's why He came. Yeah, your flesh is still a wild ass's colt. That's what I said. You're still a wild ass. That's what you are. Bucking and snorting your flesh. How many in here know that in my flesh dwells no good thing? Let me see. That's true. That's true. That's what happens in the child of God's heart. But also there's a new nature. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. That's where the voice comes in. And many times you're grieved over what you do. You chose to do it. You did it. You made up your mind you were going to do it. And you did it. But you were grieved by it. What is that? That's greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And He's going to keep on keeping on till you stand in His presence blameless and spotless. He's going to take you all the way. All the way. I'm going to quote it. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Whom He predestinated, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. And let me tell you this, you will not find the fingerprints of man in that verse. It's all He foreknew, He predestinated, He called, He justified, He glorified. To God be the glory. Let's stand and praise Him together. Is He your Lord? You hear the voice? I'll tell you what that voice is telling you to do. Confess Him as Lord. Yeah. Bow today. Yeah. Let them know. You don't care who believes it or who doesn't believe it. You've heard the voice of God today. And you know you're His. Come tell us about it, will you?